Welcome, everyone, to the PFF Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, John Macri, fantasy analyst here at PFF, and I am once again joined by the great fantasy mind that is Kate Majuk as we roll out part two of our fantasy free agency series. Kate, the season is officially over. The Kansas City Chiefs do it again. We tied in our playoff pick'ems. So how are you doing as we officially enter off-season season?
I'm doing great. I really enjoyed this free agency landing spot exercise. We did this a couple of weeks ago, but we liked it so much, we have to do it again. And like, there are still so many interesting names that we didn't get to the first time around that couldn't pass up on an opportunity to kind of round out the list of interesting free agents that I do think, I don't know, there's a lot of potential left on the board. And I do hope that we don't have one of these boring off seasons of, you know, re-signings and stuff, because there's a lot of potential shakeups that could really kind of shift the landscape for fantasy football here in 2024.
It's certainly shaping up that way, right? Like, it feels like this could be one of the more interesting free agency periods, just like, especially at the running back position. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of interesting names, I think, especially like if you consider that it doesn't seem likely that a lot of these guys are going to get franchise tagged or anything like that. So could get some, like you said, landscape shakeups here for fantasy purposes, which I'm excited about. And that's why, you know, another reason that could be fun to do this fantasy free agency series. So yeah, last time we covered quarterbacks and tight ends in there as well. We won't go over any more quarterbacks or tight ends because we've pretty much covered all the interesting ones on that list. So, like, last time we covered Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Swift, T. Higgins, Mike Evans, Dalton Schultz, and Hunter Henry. So this time we're just going to focus on the running backs and the wide receivers. We'll each add two new running backs and two new wide receivers as well. And then just like last time, we're just going to go with the expected free agents that are available. We're not going to give any consideration to franchise tags or cap space or anything like that. And we're going to put them on new teams only. So no re-signings or anything like that. So should be fun again. We got some interesting names here, like you said. But before we get into it, I do want to give a shout out to the PFF Mock Draft Simulator promo that we have going on right now. If you haven't already, you can check out the PFF Mock Draft Simulator on pff.com, where you can take control and draft for your favorite team. Or if you want to draft for the entire league, you can do that as well. You can do 1 rounds to 7 rounds. However deep you want to get into it, the Mock Draft Simulator allows you to do that. I know personally, I like to draft for all teams in the first round, make my own mocks, try out different strategies for each NFL team. And yeah, it's just fun to do, right? If you love the draft and football, like so many of us do, you can jump in there and spend a lot of time in the Mock Draft Simulator. You can also use the promo code 30MDS right now on pff.com to get 30% off annual subscriptions, which includes all of our NFL draft content, which there's already a ton of, and there will continue to be a ton of as we get closer to the draft. And of course, it'll give you access to the best mock draft simulator in the league here at PFF. So check it out now. Have yourself some fun. Again, it is promo code 30MDS. All right, let's get into it here and start with the running backs. Like I said, I think this is probably going to be the most interesting position, I think, of free agency, kind of how it shakes out, with potentially a lot of new landing spots. We only covered King Henry and DeAndre Swift last time, so we have four more names and landing spots to add to the wish list here. Kate, I'll let you kick us off with Tony Pollard. Where would you like to see Mr. Pollard go in free agency?
Tony Pollard, welcome to Houston, baby. You are joining the Houston Texans. This very bright, promising passing attack needs a little bit more run support, and I think Tony Pollard could be the perfect complement. Now, I don't think Damian Pierce is as bad as his 2023 season would indicate. I'm kind of wondering if he was never 100%. Obviously, he had a season-ending ankle injury in 2022. That lingered on, I think, into the 2023 season, missed time also with that ankle injury in 2023. I'm going to write this off, but Damian Pierce, a grinder, right? 218 pounds, 5'10", not like the fastest running back, ran a 4.59 40-yard dash that ranks in the 40th percentile among running backs. More of a grinder, less burst. I think Tony Pollard would be the absolute perfect complement to Damian Pierce in this offense. You have Devin Singletary, who's out of there. If Damian Pierce is healthy, give him some of those like tough yardage situations where you need a little bit to grind after contact. And suddenly Tony Pollard could be back to that like explosive pass, you know, passing role, explosive running role. Like when you put him in this complementary position as opposed to being the main guy, I do think that that could be something that sees Tony Pollard's value in fantasy skyrocket. It came out, you know, during the Super Bowl week that Tony Pollard didn't really feel 100% healthy until like week 11. And you look at his splits from, you know, weeks 1 through 10 and then weeks 11 onward. I mean, weeks 11 onward led all running backs with a 90.8 PFF rushing grade, ranked 7th in yards per carry, 2nd in missed forced tackle rate, 6th in yards after contact per attempt. We saw some big improvements in Tony Pollard in the second half of the season, but I do think that most fantasy managers probably didn't notice because maybe their season was over because they didn't have that second round running back that they had drafted contributing all that often very early. I like this fit. I just think from a team perspective, you know, the Houston Texans, they're unlocking a lot of different portions of their offense, but something that I think they're missing is the kind of burst Tony Pollard could offer.
I like it. I like keeping Tony Pollard in Texas, first of all, and kind of taking over like that Devin Singletary role, like you said, Devin Singletary was productive, especially in the second half of the season there for fantasy purposes. And like you said, with Tony Pollard, like he was good. He was sneakily good because he finished as PPR RB14. It was mostly a volume thing, but that second half of the year, he actually did look a lot better, right? And on the year as a whole, 83.9 rushing grade, which was 10th best among running backs. And then he still put up 1,000 rushing yards. It was just more the fantasy production that kind of hurt us, right? So I'm with you. You look at the Texans currently slated to lose about 60% of their running back carries in free agency, right? With mostly Devin Singletary losing, but Damian Pierce is still there. It's a kind of great number for Pollard to absorb and recoup some of that fantasy value and stay fresh and healthy. And like you said, this Houston team, it's a young team, especially on offense, right? And Nico Collins, he's kind of like the veteran of the team there and on offense, and he'll be heading into just year 4. So it just gives some balance to the offense as well, you know, with some veteran savvy and leadership there with Pollard. But more importantly for fantasy, he'd be the clear kind of RB1 and contribute significantly to the offense as a runner and as a receiver. So I am down with this one for sure. I love, Tony Pollard going to Houston.
Please.
Yeah, it would be nice. Let's talk about Tony Pollard's presumably former home in the Dallas Cowboys, and we have to replace him now because I don't think they necessarily have like an incumbent back on that roster at the moment that could take over that role. So I'm going to go with another running back that kind of let us down in 2023 from a fantasy perspective, and that was Austin Eckler. So this one, look, 2 seasons ago, obviously, he was fantasy RB1. He didn't come close to that in 2023. But I think this could be the offense for him to kind of thrive and get back closer to that value in 2024. I do feel like we need a bounce back here from Austin Eckler. As much as I was super disappointed with Eckler last season, I don't want him to go out like that, not after being that RB1 just the season prior. So I want him in an offense where that's going to be possible for him to bounce back. And that hopefully, you know, can hide the fact that he is declining as a running back as naturally as most of them do. But I think he'll be behind a very good Cowboys offensive line, which is certainly going to help. He doesn't necessarily need to be the focal point of the offense either. He could be that complement out of the backfield, hopefully as a receiving threat as well as a rushing threat. He would absorb a lot of the workload that Tony Pollard handled in 2023, including receiving down work. in a stable offense too that can give him chances to touch the ball and get into scoring position with plenty of other offensive threats that the defenses have to focus on. So maybe unlikely from an NFL standpoint. For fantasy purposes, if fantasy managers like myself are kind of holding out hope for Eckler to bounce back, this might be the best landing spot to do it. You know, you give him a one-year deal, nothing crazy, maybe two with some outs in that second year. But after last year, I don't think he's going to be crazy expensive to sign. So why not? If he can't be productive in Dallas as a featured back, I don't think he's going to be productive anywhere, in which case, then we can move on for good. But yeah, Austin Eckler in Dallas for me.
I mean, I think that's a very fair, very fair situation here. I mean, you look at their 2023 season, you look at the offense, led the league by a significant margin in terms of red zone plays run, led the league, but in goal line plays. Like, this could be a really big opportunity. And we know that Austin Eckler's best seasons came on the back of those 18 touchdown performances. Like, this is going to be a very productive offense. And I think, you know, those opportunities in the red zone, in the end zone, that is going to, inside the five, I think that is going to play very well into what is offered Austin Eckler. So much potential as a fantasy running back. We've also seen Dak Prescott willing to target the running back. We've seen it with Zeke, seen it with Tony Pollard. Like, Austin Eckler, a very different kind of running back than Tony Pollard. And, you know, I think that might actually kind of serve them. But the way that this year played out, I do think it makes it more financially feasible, even if it's still, like, on paper doesn't sound super likely. I don't think it's out of the question. I think it could be a good fit.
Nice. Okay, sweet. So yeah, so we're hoping there. Obviously, like you said, maybe not overly likely that Dallas goes out and spends on Austin Eckler. But, you know, again, this is fantasy free agency. This is what we're kind of just putting together a wish list here and throwing everything else to the wall and seeing what sticks here. So let's continue to keep it going with the running backs here. And you have a good one here. Devin Singletary. Where do you have Devin Singletary going for the free agency period this year?
I've got him going to the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, I do think there's going to be a ton of opportunity here in this Antonio Pierce offense to run the ball. Like, this seems very much like a ball control style offense that they're going to need a grinder. And I think what we saw for the first time really in Devin Singletary's career is his potential as a high volume running back. I mean, last 10 games of the regular season, we saw Devin Singletary carry the ball 167 times, 715 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns, also a lot of production in the receiving game, had 29 targets in that span. And he looked good. He looked good as a volume guy, which I think obviously, like, he's 26 years old. He's really small. He's 5'7", 203 pounds. Like, you look at him though, and you don't see that teeny tiny guy necessarily when he's playing football, which I love that about him. I love that he doesn't look like a 5'7 running back. He plays, I think, much bigger than that. And, you know, obviously a huge barrier for him throughout his career has been getting that opportunity to see volume. We saw it finally, and he looked good doing it. I think this is going to be a perfect situation that's going to be very conducive to running the football and running it often. I mean, from weeks 10 on, like, did he not look like one of just the most balanced running backs in the league? Like, as crazy as it is to say.
Yeah, this is what Devin Singletary does, right? Like, he's been really steady and consistent and underrated for most of his career now. He's been really good. And I love this fit. I mean, he's just shown it, right? Anytime that a team has gone to him, he's delivered, right? He rarely disappoints, just as this kind of, like you said, unassuming kind of back, capable of being consistent, at least on early downs. That's what you're mostly looking for from him, but never posted lower than 4.1 yards per carry in any season. And the Raiders, like you said, undoubtedly like a team in transition here. So an under the radar signing like a Devin Singletary could, I think, work out really nicely for fantasy, since they should be very unlikely to heavily invest in the position beyond that, whether in the draft or also in free agency, whatever the case. But he's also a capable receiver. He's seen at least 45 targets every year that he's been in the league across two different teams now. So this is great. I would love Singletary in Las Vegas. This would be a nice fit for me.
And what I will say, so like, I think what encourages me probably the most about Devin Singletary, like, you look at the situation right now in Las Vegas, and the biggest question is like, is this offense going to score points? And I think that's probably going to be a pain point, right, for really anybody. If Devin Singletary were to go there, I think that would be a huge question mark. But this was kind of a situation for Devin Singletary, you know, weeks 10 on, when he kind of had that full-time role secured, not a lot of that offense was necessarily channeled through him. Not a lot of that scoring was channeled through him, but still RB17 and fantasy points per game in that span, from week 10 on through 18. You know, that's a higher average than David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Brian Robinson, like Travis Etienne, a lot of guys that we consider to have had a really solid end to the season, only had four rushing touchdowns in that span and still managed to be very productive, was productive from a yardage standpoint, ranked second in running back rushing yards in that span. I just think from an NFL standpoint, I could actually see this one happening. And it, because like you mentioned, this is a team in flux. And I do think that, I mean, for what you're going to get on this market, I do think Devin Singletary is probably going to be one of the most affordable options that's produced more recently than a lot of these other free agent running backs.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. His efficiency has been great. And like you said, just super reliable. And even like dating back to college, I want to say he went to Florida Atlantic, I think it was, and he put up a ton of production there as well, right? So this is a guy that's just been capable and delivered at every level now. So yeah, I would love to see him in Las Vegas. I think that would make for a really nice fantasy combination there. So yeah, that one makes sense. I'm going to swing for the fences a little bit here with my next one, and I'm going to put Saquon Barkley with the Philadelphia Eagles. So
dreaming.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely dreaming. I cannot imagine that this actually happens in reality, but look, again, fantasy free agency, here we are. We're taking some shots here, and look, if there is going to be a reality portion of it, the Eagles aren't really like strangers to kind of bringing in some, you know, high profile players at a relative bargain to kind of fill out their roster, right? And DeAndre Swift is a pending free agent at the moment. And yeah, maybe they look within the division here to upgrade the position. So Saquon Barkley staying in the NFC East. And look, I think he has both the rushing and receiving profile, I think, to fill basically multiple needs in the Eagles' backfield. So they won't have to rely on multiple other backs to play either role and can still address other team needs, right? You don't need to rely on basically the Boston Scotts and Kenneth Gainwells of the world. And Barkley's still at a point in his career where I think you can rely upon him to handle a pretty large workload and perform at a high rate. He's coming off back-to-back seasons of close to 250 carries or more than or more and at least 50 targets. So it's also an offense where there are other mouths to feed and plenty of them, where he doesn't have to be, again, much like Austin Eckler, doesn't have to be the focal point of the offense like he was in New York, which I think is only, you know, if he were, it was only going to lead to more kind of wear and tear for him or a player that's dealt with injuries. So at the same time, I think this is a team that, you know, can sustain enough offense for him to provide opportunity to rack up strong fantasy production on a weekly basis. We know that, you know, he's at his best, obviously, when he's healthy. Who isn't? But I'd hope that playing behind that offensive line and more of a balanced offense that can allow him to thrive and be more efficient in the way that he has been in the past, and also be as productive of a back as there's been in Philadelphia over the past few seasons. So I know that he's likely to command probably the highest price tag of all the free agent running backs, which is likely going to be the biggest sticking point here. But again, Fantasy Free Agency Part 2, we get to kind of throw that out the window and just build our list of hopes and dreams here, which is a lot more fun in February and March anyway. So this is where I'm going with Saquon Barkley, keeping him in the NFC East and throwing him on the Eagles.
I really like this fit, actually, because the big pain point for, you know, Saquon Barkley over the past few seasons, obviously it has not been a volume situation, even despite the fact that he's missed some time over the past three seasons, still averaging like 235 attempts per season. So like, even with that injuries, the volume floor has been incredibly safe. The big pain point, though, has been the efficiency. And obviously, like you mentioned, I think health has in part played a factor of that. Also has the fact that he is a New York Giant. Whoops. That's not going to help your case. Playing with Daniel Jones, even despite his emergence as a runner, like all of these things kind of play against Saquon Barkley's efficiency on the ground. Two of the last three seasons has failed to eclipse that 4 yards per carry mark, but working in an offense that is as friendly toward the run as Philadelphia is, I do think they got a little bit away from their roots here in this past season. If they can get back to the run with a fully healthy Jalen Hurts, which I think is also probably a part of that deviation. He was dealing with that knee injury. Get this run going again. And I do think that if he's running alongside a guy like Jalen Hurts behind that offensive line, hopefully we'll see Kelce return. Like, this could be Saquon Barkley's most efficient opportunity, because there aren't a lot of places. Maybe the Ravens are another good example, but not a ton of offenses where I think you're going to find a strong enough balance between run game and passing efficiency as you are with the Eagles or maybe even the Ravens to really unlock Barkley's true potential.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what I think was the main focus for him for me, is just trying to find somewhere where opportunity obviously is going to be one thing, but not so much that he's just going to be, you know, run into the dirt every single play, right? So staying behind, you know, in that offense and behind that offensive line, I think is an opportunity for him to stay relatively fresh while also, you know, being the clear lead back there and contributing as both a runner and a receiver. So I like Philadelphia for him as much as unlikely as that is to be. We'll see what happens, but
we can dream. That's the point of this. This is the, you know, the figment of our imaginations this offseason. And that is, again, my favorite part of the year is kind of this period where literally anything is possible. The cap is a myth. Draft capital, you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. Everything is possible at this point in the NFL season with the draft ahead of us, with free agency ahead. Like, the world is our oyster, and this is the very carefully crafted fantasy football oyster that we are presenting the community, and I hope it all happens.
Yeah, very well put. This is definitely what makes the offseason fun, all the prognostication and guessing and build up to where players could potentially go, whether it's free agency or the draft. And we'll definitely cover the draft in potentially a similar way down the road as well. But we'll keep it rolling here. We'll talk about the wide receivers in just a second. But first, I want to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Fabric by Gerber Life. If you have family, then you need to get term life insurance to protect them. It's one of the smartest financial decisions you can make, and the start of the new year is the perfect time to get it done so you could focus on whatever else the year has in store for you. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget, with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. Get your personalized quote in just minutes and then apply when it's convenient for you. It's all online and on your schedule. You can go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/fantasy. That's meetfabric.com/fantasy, meetfabric.com/fantasy. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Insurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. All right, let's pick things back up with some wide receivers now. Last time we covered Mike Evans and T. Higgins, so we have four new names to add to that, starting with Michael Pittman Jr. Kate, where do you have him going in free agency?
This is probably the most unlikely of any of our free agency picks today, but Michael Pittman, you know, I think there's this gaping hole in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense, because the week before last we shipped Mike Evans off. So obviously he needs a replacement. Michael Pittman, come on down. It seems likely they're going to bring back Baker Mayfield, right? But part of the success of Baker Mayfield coming off a season ranked top 10 in pass attempts, yards, touchdowns, yards per attempt, passer rating. I mean, this was a baller season for Baker Mayfield. Huge Baker Mayfield fan. And Mike Evans, obviously a crucial part of that success. Second highest receiving yardage total of his career. 13 receiving touchdowns for Mike Evans. Like, there has always been this looming question: can wide receivers actually produce with Baker Mayfield? And like Mike Evans, his 2023 season answered that in full force. And, you know, something that I think they're going to miss in a big way with Mike Evans is obviously that size factor and reliability. He's 6'5", 231 pounds. Michael Pittman Jr., I don't know. He offers a decent amount of size there that I think kind of fits what they're going to be missing. 6'4", 223 pounds. Again, a guy that I just don't think we've necessarily seen hit his total upside, but you look at where he's been successful, 63rd percentile in separation percentage over the past two seasons, 71st percentile in yards per route run. I think 77th percentile in contested catch percentage. Like, there's a lot of upside here for a guy like Michael Pittman, especially with the size, with the potential opportunity with Baker Mayfield, because I do think that I'm not calling Michael Pittman Jr. Mike Evans in any way, but I do think that there's some relative similarities to their game that I could see him translating to this Bucs offense fairly well.
Yeah, I like it, right? We could assume that, yeah, Mike Evans, we shipped him off last time. So this is replacing one Mike with another, and it could be a relatively smooth transition here, right? Especially if Baker Mayfield continues to be the quarterback there, right? We want to surround him with some capable receiving weapons to help him as much as possible. Because, yeah, like you said, I'm a fan of Baker Mayfield. As much as I like him as a quarterback, right, you still want to have a good supporting cast for him as well, because he's had his ups and downs. And you look at, it's going to be basically Chris Godwin there, and that's it as far as receivers go, right? Rashad White out of the backfield, but there's going to need to be somebody else. And Michael Pittman, I think, makes a ton of sense. You know, looking at the Buccaneers potentially losing about 40% of their routes run from this past season, that's a big chunk there for Mayfield. So I like Mike Evans in this spot. You pair him with a Chris Godwin, guys that can kind of do it all as wide receivers. And Mike Evans definitely proven that he's a capable wide receiver one, if that's going to be the role that he plays in this Bucs offense. He's led the Colts in targets since 2021 by a pretty large margin as well, right? So no reason he can't step into Tampa Bay and do the same thing here. Yeah, I really like this fit for sure.
Love it.
All right, let's talk about another wide receiver, and this one is Marquise Hollywood Brown. So
we're gonna fight about this one, by the way. We John, might, yeah. I have a feeling
we might, yeah. This is there's you have a pick here for the same team, and I really like that one as well. So I feel like we couldn't talk wide receiver landing spots without talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, and I got Marquise Brown going to the Kansas City Chiefs. So of all the landing spots listed in this piece, the Chiefs are actually losing kind of the lowest percentage of routes at the position, just 9%, right? There's not a ton of room there. It's just Mecole Hardman, Super Bowl winning touchdown scorer, Mecole Hardman, by the way, and Richie James slated to be the free agents this offseason. But I still feel like there's a pretty significant need to add to the wide receiver room in Kansas City. This was a particular weak spot all season long, which feels weird to say for a team that just won the Super Bowl, right? But the fact that they were able to do it with the likes of Mecole Hardman, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a rookie in Rashee Rice, aging Travis Kelce, I don't know how sustainable that is. So it might not be an area to necessarily gamble on, considering that Kelce maybe has a year left in him before he and T-Swizzle retire away to a private island somewhere, never to be seen or heard from again. But you could bring in a player like Hollywood Brown, who definitely hasn't lived up to, I guess, the expectations with either the Ravens or the Cardinals since being that first round pick in 2019, though he was a lot better in Baltimore, where he was much more of like this yak wide receiver, at least more than he was in Arizona, right? And I think there's potential for him to kind of get back to that and be productive in an offense that's built off that yak production right now, while also being like a primary deep threat, which is how the Ravens and Cardinals have utilized him in the past as well. So he's still going to be just 27 years old at the start of this season. He's not likely going to command north of $15 million per year like a lot of the other top-end wide receivers. So he'll be on the cheaper side. You can maybe give him a two-year contract even. I think that could end up being a nice compliment for this offense going forward. Hopefully provide some more consistency there if he's looking to get, you know, his career kind of back on track at least. So felt like I had to put somebody on Kansas City, and I kind of like Marquise Brown there as somebody to, as like a reclamation project.
I see your Marquise Brown, and I'm going to raise you a Gabe Davis, who I think is the overall better deep receiver. And we actually like both were kind of right on point here with where we were going with the direction of this. We want a deep threat for Patrick Mahomes, who, you know, of course on social media, I don't know if you've seen the recent, you know, trendy graphic from I believe it was Warren Sharp about the average depth of target on Patrick Mahomes' passing touchdowns. It is quite low. He needs a little bit of a deep threat to open things up. Now, they found Rashi Rice in the draft this year, second round pick, who is absolutely outstanding and showcased everything he can do after the catch this year. But he, like a number of other assets on this Chiefs offense, had a very low average depth of target. They need somebody that is a threat deep. And, you know, like, because you could have Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you know, running up the seam all day long, 20 yards deep, but there's not a whole lot of incentive for, you know, opposing teams to dedicate all that many resources to covering that play. Because even if the ball gets in his hands, what are the chances that it's actually caught? It's not great. And I mean, Patrick Mahomes tied to lead the league for dropped passes on attempts of 20 plus air yards this year. And you know who is actually one of the top rated wide receivers when it comes to those such targets? It was Gabe Davis, ranked 10th in PFF receiving grade on those targets. Obviously, like, it wasn't fully healthy towards the end of the season, and then, you know, kind of had this whole smorgasbord, but like that was kind of the role that he played. He saw 20 or 32% of his targets on deep pass attempts, had 25 targets deep, and that ranked 12th in the league, despite the fact that he wasn't like a full-time role. Receivers with a similar target share deep, you know, you're looking at the likes of like an AJ Brown, a CeeDee Lamb, guys that were absolute pinnacles of their offense. But Gabe Davis, he was very much in an ancillary role, which makes his production as a deep receiving option all the more impressive to me. And I do think that he'd be a really solid fit because he's a guy that I think over the past couple of years we've seen isn't reliable enough on an every down basis to play, to be your every down guy. He's not your wide receiver one, but I do think he can slot in as like, if he's your wide receiver three, all of a sudden things look a lot different and he can open some things up down the stretch. Like I will say as a Steelers fan, when the Steelers were playing the Buffalo Bills in the wild card round, the fact that they did not have Gabe Davis available was a huge, huge win for that Steelers defense. They still managed to get it done. But I just think, you know, from a perspective of what he can do to open things up for the rest of the offense and start pushing that ball down the field a bit more, I trust his hands just a bit more. Then, you know, like, I think it's a very natural fit.
I'm in 100% agreement here. I think it is. It's a great fit. I mean, the Chiefs, like you said, they lack that consistent deep threat, right? Like their top deep threats this past year, like you said, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Justin Watson, right? Like they can afford to upgrade there. Even if that's all that Davis is, you're not necessarily paying him to be anything more than that, right? You look at his route tree the last couple of years, what he's been for Buffalo, it's outside of hitches, it's go routes, posts, and corners, right? He's their deep threat. And you're not really going to be asking him to do more than that, especially once you consider Rashi Rice, like you said, how good he's been on the underneath stuff and handling that, you know, those crossers and underneath and ins and outs and thriving in that area in the field as a rookie. I mean, Davis, I think, could be kind of the perfect complement to that offense in that deep role while Rashi Rice kind of dominates underneath and along with Travis Kelce and those guys. But yeah, I'm with you. I love it. Should be on the cheaper side as well, also in that kind of $12 million per year range like Marquise Brown. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I think, Gabe Davis, we saw what he did against Kansas City in that Kansas City Buffalo overtime game from a few years back. I mean, they can add somebody that to their offense. That's just a huge addition, right?
I'll say I do think it kind of, like I think both of these players could be interesting fits for the Chiefs. Obviously, just a wider, a warm body with hands would be a leg up for this Kansas City Chiefs offense. But I do think, like, it depends on what route you would like to take. Like, I think Gabe Davis would be a huge winner for, let's say, the upside of Patrick Mahomes for fantasy. Obviously, had a down season. I think the addition of Gabe Davis gives Patrick Mahomes an additional edge, more so than Marquise Brown. But I also think Marquise Brown is a much more versatile wide receiver that would probably offer the Chiefs a lot more flexibility in terms of his usage. So, like, probably depend, like, which way you lean. I'd love to hear what the listeners think about which of these two fits they like better. But it really does come down to, like, what do you think the Chiefs need more? Do they need maybe, you know, more every down reliability that I do think they found in Rashi Rice and some of that flexibility and dynamic playmaking, or do they need the deep threat? And is that what you care about the most? And I think that's kind of like the deciding factor between the two.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think if I'm choosing between the two that makes the most sense, like, and most likely to happen, I think Gabe Davis is that player, and just in that, they have a lot of players who can do that kind of underneath stuff right now, but they don't necessarily have just that sole deep threat, right? And I think if that's the role that Gabe Davis is going to play, which is basically what he's been for his NFL career and probably going to continue to be for at least a couple more seasons, I think that one makes the most sense to me as well. So yeah, I'm with you. Gabe Davis in Kansas City.
So what I'm hearing is that you regret
you picked better than me that one.
For sure. Yeah. Okay. I was just double checking.
Yeah, double check. That's good. We'll put that on the record. Yes, I like that one a lot more. All right, let's do one more wide receiver here. And we couldn't talk free agent wide receivers without talking about Calvin Ridley, who it seems like he's done in Jacksonville. And I have put him with the New York Giants. So this, you know, look, you look at Ridley last year, his first season with the Jaguars, it had its ups and downs, but ultimately wasn't quite what a lot of fantasy managers or maybe even the Jaguars had hoped for. He did finish with over 1,000 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns, but 1.57 yards per route run, ranked 49th among wide receivers. He had 7 drops, tied for the 5th most. But yeah, with that being said, I think the Giants could still use a receiver who can command targets, which Ridley has proven capable of. His 132 targets that he had last year were tied for the 15th most at the position. That gives them kind of an established wide receiver who can get open consistently while being a downfield threat as well. And this is a team whose top deep threats were like a rookie in Jalen Hyatt, who was, I think, underutilized, and Darius Slayton, who is just kind of fine for what he is. But the point being, these aren't necessarily guys who scare you at wide receiver, and maybe Ridley isn't that as much anymore either, but he's still, I think, a significant upgrade to what they've had, in my opinion. And the Giants Obviously, still have questions at quarterback, despite Tommy Cutlet's mania taking over midway through the season. This is a team that needs a strong supporting cast, I think, in order to succeed on offense, because Daniel Jones isn't getting it done by himself. We'll see what they do in the draft. Maybe they bring in a potential, you know, rookie quarterback, a Bo Nix or JJ McCarthy or whoever, right? We'll see what happens. But we know Darren Waller, it was disappointing. We talked about him a few weeks ago. He just wasn't what we had hoped for. It doesn't seem like he's going to get back to being that, you know, top target earner on a team. So they got to have another option there. And as much as I love like Wandale Robinson, he's not a guaranteed wide receiver one by any means, and remains to be seen how much he can contribute as, you know, kind of a do-it-all wide receiver. So you spend some money on Ridley, you give this offense its clear top target now that Jones can rely on every week, or Jones or whoever is that quarterback. And you don't get necessarily the carousel of names that we've had the past couple of seasons there. And hopefully that should lead to some strong fantasy production. So Calvin Ridley going to New York is my pick here.
I really like that, especially just given the kind of role we saw for Jalin Hyatt. 45% of his targets went for 20 or more air yards, which led all wide receivers with at least 15 targets, such targets of 20 plus air yards. Like, his role was down the field, run there, stay there, and try to catch a ball if it comes in your direction. Then, interestingly, you had Darius Slayton, who actually led that cohort in yards per reception on such targets. Like, they had some guys that they utilized deep and then didn't really feel like they had a much of, you know, reliability anywhere else on the football field. I think Calvin Ridley adds a level of, you know, dynamics to the field. You can't have the deep threat without having threats anywhere else on the field. And I think like Calvin Ridley could be a guy that could complement this offense to balance out that dynamic, because like Jalin Hyatt, much like a Gabe Davis, if what you're asking him to do is to be that deep threat, great. I think he can succeed there. But in order for that role to be like a successful one, you definitely need somebody else to fill the shoes elsewhere and be more of an every down threat. And they do not have that in any sense of the imagination at this point. Calvin Ridley also, you know, from a like real NFL standpoint, also seems like a fairly reasonable fit. I don't think there's any way he returns to the Jaguars, just based on the fact that their draft capital that they, you know, are paying essentially for Calvin Ridley will convert to a second round pick if they do get an extension done. So like, seems like an actual, like, you know, fairly reasonable signing. And I mean, again, kind of like the Chiefs and their needs for a deep receiver, like the Giants just need a warm body with reliable hands that can make plays more than just down the field.
Yeah, for sure. And look, Calvin Ridley probably fits in a number of other different places as well, just because he's not just kind of a, you know, one trick pony as far as being a wide receiver goes. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Giants. I think the NFL's better when the Giants are good, and I'm just trying to make them good. And just creating some stability for fantasy purposes, because
the poor
trying
Giants
to figure out, yeah, who to start at wide receiver each week out of New York was kind of a pain in the ass. So hopefully Calvin Ridley can be that guy for us. And if he ends up landing there, but we'll see. Cause yeah, I'm with you. It does feel like he will be one of the ones to hit the open market here. Because I don't think Jacksonville wants to give up a second round pick. So, should be fun. But yeah, let us know. Do you have any favorite fantasy football landing spots for free agency this offseason? You could drop them in the YouTube comments. Don't be afraid. Jump in. Give us some of your favorites. The beauty of fantasy free agency is there are no wrong answers. So I'd love to hear them. I know Kate would love to hear them as well. So let us know in the comments. But yeah, thank you all very much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed part two of Fantasy Free Agency. I appreciate you all killing some time with us until the real free agency kicks off and we have some legitimate landing spots to discuss, or maybe most of these come to fruition and we could just repeat ourselves in a couple of weeks. Who knows? But Kate, thank you again for coming on and continuing our Fantasy Free Agency series. It was so fun the first time, like you said. We had to do it twice. I don't know if we'll do it thrice, but yeah, we'll might be scraping the bottom of the barrel if we do it again, but this was fun nonetheless. So I appreciate you doing this. And yeah, before we go, let everybody know where they can find more of you and your work as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow me on Twitter at Kate Majuk. Follow some Steelers work over at Behind the Steel Curtain. I tweet out anything I write for any of our lovely platforms, but of course, popping in and out of PFF periodically, always here down to talk fantasy with John. So follow along. Yeah, give me a follow on Twitter and we'll have ourselves a fun off season.
Yes, definitely follow Kate and I know all of her work. That's something I probably need to get better at as well. I'm not great at tweeting out the things I do, but I am writing up some stuff on PFF.com. I had written up the free agency primers for offensive and IDP, but I'm also writing up kind of an introduction to this year's rookie draft class for all position offense and IDP as well, where I look at how the class stacks up in terms of stable metrics over the past two seasons, just as a kind of way to get an idea of where these players are at right now coming out of college and see where their strengths and weaknesses might be before I do the full deep dive into the prospect rankings and all that fun stuff, which we'll get to covering on the pod here as well as we get closer to NFL draft season. But we got the combine coming up soon. We'll have plenty of free agency coverage as well, draft coverage, all of that fun offseason stuff. So keep tuning in, and until next time, peace out.